My great pleasure this morning to welcome amongst us Archbishop Ben Kwashi, who is the Archbishop of Nigeria. And it's our great pleasure to have him with us today and have had him with us all week at our Missions Roundtable. And I think you're also staying for the SOMA conference this week. So Archbishop, it's a joy to have you with us.
Please bow your heads in prayer. Dear Father, we come under the authority of your word and pray that you will make your words to come into our hearts to transform our lives, and that your word will be for us the bread of life, and we feasting upon it may be nourished to live the life of Jesus Christ. And we ask it in his name. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you for that warm welcome, and thanks also to Bishop Rennies, on whose invitation I'm here, and who has also graciously given me the opportunity to share in fellowship, not only at the round table and for our sober meetings, but also the Sunday morning like this one. And I bring you greetings from Nigeria, from Gloria, my wife, and the work that she does, and want to thank you for your continued prayers for us. And like I have said, wherever I've been, that at the end of it all, we will, when we get to heaven, before we discover those who have held us up and those we have also held up in prayers. Because for some of us, we are living on the wings of prayers of many, many saints around the world, and we remain eternally grateful for that. This morning, I am looking at the epistle reading. I felt led by the Lord to share with you the text of the epistle reading, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and from verses 1 to 10. And what hit me there is the picture of a church that has become a church in evangelism, a church, a movement of a church in evangelism. This is a whole church, the people of God saved by grace in evangelism. And three things come out of that for me, which I will share with you. The first is from verse 5. It's a church in evangelism is a gospel church. A church that believes the gospel, that preaches the gospel, that lives the gospel, and teaches it as well. And the second thing is that this church in evangelism is a transformational center. The place where people come and encounter the gospel and their lives are changed in a real way. Their lives are changed, their lives are transformed, and they become a new creation in Christ. But the third thing is that this church in evangelism is also a mission-minded center, a place where they not only receive the gospel, they not only are transformed, but they also are the vehicle of carrying the gospel elsewhere. So they are mission-minded. And I see that from the letter of Paul to the Thessalonians. Well, the story is that Paul spent about 2 weeks here from Acts chapter 17, almost three, and he reasoned with the people in Thessalonica, and he preached the gospel. And the thrust of his message was that Jesus Christ lived, and his story was well known, but he was crucified and he died and was raised on the third day. And the reason for that is that Jesus Christ's sacrifice is to take away our sins. And so all the struggles of humanity in trying to free ourselves from our guilt whether you were Jew, religious, or pagan, or whatever religion, the struggle of man is how do we deal with our sins. We want to be good people, and sometimes we do appear good. But inside of us, we know who we are, and we are in need of something to take away that guilt from our consciences. Now, Jesus' death and resurrection does that for us. And those who truly believe in Jesus and receive Jesus Christ, when the gospel is preached in the power of the Holy Spirit, and they receive this message, they have found that to be true. That they are set free from their sins, and that they are transformed from a life of sin to a life of freedom in Christ. And the freedom in Christ is lived by the grace of God, so that sin no longer has authority over your life. Now, the Thessalonians found this to be true, and so many people came to Christ by the preaching of Paul. Poor people did, rich people did, Jews did, Gentiles, men and women. And this striking message in 2 weeks aroused jealousy. And so Paul had to be smuggled out of Thessalonica and went on to Berea. And Paul could not rest, because when he remembered how short a time he has been with the Thessalonians, and what will be the future of the gospel? What will be the future of the young Christian church? How are they surviving? That troubled Paul a lot. His pastoral heart. When you preach the gospel and people receive Christ, you want to keep helping them, to nurture them in the faith, that they may grow and be strong. But the church in Thessalonica was a very young church. And poor Jason had to pay a bond to be free, because he was persecuted for that. So the church in Thessalonica was going through persecution as well. And Paul was thinking about them and praying earnestly. What's happening to the church? So he sent Timothy to go and find out. And Timothy did. Timothy comes back and tells Paul what he saw. Now, it is what Timothy saw that Paul is responding to in this letter. And in verse 3, we see Paul giving thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in Christ Jesus. Timothy comes back and said to Paul, the brothers and sisters, they're working for the kingdom. The physical work is evidence of their faith. And they labor in love, struggling to encourage one another in the faith. With the little parchment of whatever gospel they had, they were laboring sincerely. But not only that, they were sharing and supporting and giving and receiving. The church was growing in number. And you would know that most of the letters that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians was full about the parousia, the coming back of the Lord, the physical coming of Jesus Christ. And they were not being idle waiting for Jesus. They were hoping for his return. So they were actually aggressively taking the gospel very quickly. It was an urgent matter before Jesus comes. They want people saved. They had received the genuine gospel, because the evidence of a genuine gospel is it produces a work of faith, a labor of love, and a hope in the return of our Savior. So Paul is very excited from the report of Timothy that this is what he saw in Thessalonica. And what an exciting thing, friends, that anybody would come to Singapore and say, the brethren in Singapore, they're actively walking in faith, and they're laboring in the love of Jesus Christ, and they are basking in the hope of the return of Jesus. And Jesus is going to come back, friends. He will come back. He will come back. The evidence that people know the Lord is in their walk of faith, their labor of love, and their hope in the return of Jesus. But the first thing I notice after this introduction is that the Thessalonican church is a gospel church. It's a gospel church. Verse 5. Because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we prove to be among you for your sake. And where the gospel is truly preached with conviction and with the power of the Holy Spirit, there will be a response. And in the case of Thessalonica, we see that there was persecution. And friends, the gospel is beyond just some intellectual discussion. Yes, we have to articulate it for people to understand, but it is in its reliance of the Holy Spirit, so that when we speak the gospel, the Holy Spirit gives it power to enter in the hearts of men and women, and they respond not to us, but to the gospel. To the truth that Jesus is the Savior. That Jesus actually truly died for our sins and was raised. And now we can be forgiven and cleansed in our consciences by the blood of the eternal covenant. We preach the gospel to teach the life of Jesus. We preach the gospel to teach the death of Christ, by which we also died to the old life, to our sins. And we're raised in the resurrection of Jesus Christ to a new life in Christ. So that who I was, and thank God you didn't know me for who I was. Only my mother knew, and thank God she's dead. But who I was until Jesus saved me. And I remember when I came home, I was about 19 years when I came home. And my mother, when she saw me, she was shocked because she could see from my demeanor, right as she could see, that something has happened to Benji. Because I wasn't the rough-looking, the troubled boy when I left home at 17. She saw something had happened. And she began to be worried because I was going extreme, as far as she could see. She was happy, all right, but she wasn't so sure now. Because I was fasting and I wasn't smiling too much and no more. She didn't know what was going on inside of me, because every time I remembered my sins, I felt really bad, really bad. Yeah, but a little time and some brothers in Campus Crusade for Christ helped me navigate us, and I was growing in the faith and got to understand what the faith was like. That is what the gospel does. I was set free from my sins, from my innermost struggles. I'm a forgiven sinner, saved by grace, walking in faith. That is the work of the Holy Spirit wherever the pulpit and a church preaches the gospel. This was what was happening in Thessalonica. But the second thing is that the Thessalonican church is a transformation center. Verse 6. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. So the church in Thessalonica was helping sinners to become saints. Helping sinners to become forgiven sinners and becoming saints. It was a church that received all kinds and conditions of men and women, young and old, but was teaching them to become saved sinners. As a matter of fact, verse 9 says this, and I read, "For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned from idols to serve the living and true God." They literally threw away their idols. It was a transformational center. They began to take on the character of being a Christian led by the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit was now being seen in their lives. Despite the persecution, they were exhibiting joy, just like the apostles. Remember that Paul was persecuted, thrown out, and he moved to Berea. But the joy, as soon as he woke up in Berea, he continued to preach the gospel. The joy that accompanies a saved Christian. That is what the apostles said. They were not grumbling. Oh, the persecution is too... No, there's so much joy. They want to share the gospel. And that's a transformational life there. But thirdly, and my last point on this church evangelism is verse 8. "For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone everywhere, so that we need not say anything." Friends, this is a mission-minded church. The word of the Lord which they received had entered their lives, and they were now living it out. And it had now reverberated like a sound, unstoppable, across the hills and valleys of the entire Macedonian area. And people were hearing the stories of changed lives. I remember when I gave my life to Christ, it was in Lagos. But before I came home to my mother in Jos, the story had reached Jos. That, did you know Benji is now a Christian? And others said, no, not his type. Tell us something new. You mean Benji, even he would also be a Christian? The story of your conversion goes ahead of you. It precedes you. And that was what was happening. The people in Thessalonica, their conversion story and their testimonies in the community was going ahead of them everywhere. And some of them were teachers in school. Some of them were market men and women, business people. Some of them were just ordinary men and women. And they had this one common experience in church. They had given their lives to Christ. They've experienced born again. They've experienced the Holy Spirit. And the excitement of that little group church was going everywhere, to the extent that they were founding more churches all over in Thessalonica. A 2 weeks evangelism of Paul gives birth to so many congregations around the province, right up to Achaia. Friends, can you imagine that we here would take on this? And without any crusades or our big time evangelism campaigns or anything, but that our lives here, by the gospel, becoming our transformational people, and we're carrying the gospel everywhere, pastors, lay people, teachers, everywhere throughout Singapore, and imagine what will happen. Well, that was the church in Thessalonica.
The news of the transformation of the Thessalonians spread automatically. They not only received the gospel, but they embodied the gospel. So whether it was in a train or in an aircraft or anywhere, even if they said nothing, people notice this person's life is gentle, is winsome. His behavior is different. Is he really from Nigeria? Or is he different? That is the gospel. That is the gospel, friends. When you embody the gospel, you only need to add one more word and there will be a conversion. Because your life shows it. You ooze it out with your peace, your joy, your courtesy, your behavior, your character. A church in evangelism and mission will bear the marks of walking faith, laboring for the gospel in love, and living steadfastly in the hope of Jesus' return, and he will return. A church in evangelism will be a gospel preaching and teaching and living church, a transformation center where lives are turned around to Jesus, and a mission-minded congregation. That was the Thessalonican church. Can we bring it down to ourselves as individuals and as a cathedral? That's the kind of church I believe God wants to see. Let us now pray for it. Let us pray. And gracious God, we pray that your word will take authority over our lives to make us a church in evangelism, and that your gospel will truly take place in our hearts to transform our lives, to bear fruit in mission for your glory, so that from here we might reach the ends of the world. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you very much, Archbishop Ben Kwashi, for the inspiring testimony and bring us the Word of God.